Well, the second great event that's coming is the Bema. So back up to 2 Corinthians in your Bibles. And if you've never marked this, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is our next stop, the second chronological event. Immediately following the rapture of Christ's church is this event for us, 2 Corinthians 5. And I'm going to read the first 10 verses. And you'll see where some of these famous truths come from. They're all right here. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed. So we're supposed to have a temporal view of how life is. In fact, Peter, in 2 Peter, he compared his life to dwelling in a tent. And he compared his death to rolling up the tent and leaving on a journey. And he says, as long as I'm here before my exodus, before I shove off, before I break camp, he says, I want to keep stirring you up. Because life is a tent, and earthly life is temporary, like living in a tent. So we know if our earthly house, this body, this tent is destroyed, we have a building from God. Now, if you think that this body is real, you ought to see how real the one you're going to get is. You notice the comparison. This body is like a tent. If you ever lived in a tent, I mean, those tents are just, I mean, a fraction of an inch thick. The material that tents are made of, they're just very, very thin and unsubstantial. But he says what we're getting is a house. And it's a house not made with hands. And it's not temporal. It's what? Eternal. And it's not on earth where it's going to be defiled. It's in the heavens. You see, there's so much truth in this first verse. For in this we groan. By the way, the older you get in the Lord, the more you groan. Groan for what? Earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found unclothed. That's what this naked thing is. He says, I don't want to be without my permanent, eternal habitation. I want that which God has prepared for me. Verse 4, for we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Everything here is mortal, temporal, easily destroyed, easily ruined, everything. But he says, I want to be swallowed up by life, which is eternal. Verse 5, for he who has prepared for us this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a, and this is a beautiful word, as a down payment, as an engagement ring. This promise of God, the Holy Spirit is our down payment of all we're going to get. And I'll tell you what, if you think the Holy Spirit is amazing living within us, just think, he's just the down payment. He's the engagement ring, as it were, the promise of all that God is going to give us. So he says, he is the guarantee from God. Verse 6, so we're always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. There's where that little phrase comes from. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. There's no soul sleep. We don't sleep somewhere in this, what the Roman church has invented, called limbo. You've heard of limbo? That's another Latin term that comes from the Roman church, which limbus patrum, limbus infantum. It's this limbo, kind of soul sleep place. The Advent Christian Church and a lot of other churches have perpetuated this idea that when you die, you go into limbo. You go into soul sleep. No, the Bible says no soul sleep. As soon as you're absent from this body, as soon as the life is torn from this body, be it by cancer or some respiratory illness or some sudden car wreck or plane crash or some debilitating disease, the instant that our spirit, our immortal soul, is torn from this body, from inhabiting it, we're present with the Lord. Now watch. Verse 9, therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. Why? Because we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in his body according to what he hath done, whether good or bad. That word seat, judgment seat, is the word bema, bema. So that's the second event that's coming. First, the rapture. The second event, this bema, tells us we ought to be holy because Christ is going to test my life. Not your wife's life, not your husband's life, not your parents' life, not your children's life. He's going to test my life. Look back at verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body. Did you know you can run, but you can't hide from God? God is going to have a day of reckoning, whether or not you have used your redeemed body for what pleases Him. That's why, look at verse 9. We make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to Him. He says, my earnest longing and desire is that my life more and more and more line up with what is pleasing to God. Remember when Jim Berg was here way back and did his conference, his little saying, which is so hard to forget, it's so clear, only two choices on the shelf, pleasing God or pleasing self. Paul said the same thing. And he says, I'm looking forward to the judgment seat of Christ. I want to be able to answer that I have as much as is humanly possible, as much as I appropriated God's grace, I lived a holy life to please Him. You know, it reduces life down to a lot of simple decisions. Is doing that going to please God or just me? Now, it's okay if it pleases both of us. It's not okay if it doesn't please the larger one in the equation, which is the Lord. But we were born wanting to only please ourselves. That's how we were born. We want to go our own way. We remember the child, as soon as they're old enough to do stuff, everything goes to their mouth. That's that image of everything's for me. And everything they pick up just right in that mouth. And that's just a vivid picture of our selfishness. Everything we think about, we first think about, how does it please me? And God says, when you're born from above, there's a decreasing frequency of us wanting to please me, and an increasing frequency of me saying, is that going to please you? Not my friends, not my peers, you, God. And so that's why the second response, the second prophetic event is the Bema. And I should say, I want to be holy. That should be my response. Be ready for Christ's return. But as soon as He returns, I'm going to get to stand in front of Him and answer for my whole life. I want to be holy. What does holy mean? I used to think it meant you had to have a wrinkled face, kind of gray hair, and your hair pulled back like this, like the ladies. I think some of them tightened their hair too tight, and it made their faces like that when I was growing up. You know, it was the people that came on Sunday night. Nobody young came on Sunday night. My parents made me come, but I couldn't find anybody young. It was never fun on Sunday night. It's just the old people with their hair pulled back like that, you know, that always came. And so I thought, they always talked about the holy saints, and I thought it was all the ones. You know what? It isn't that. You know what holy means? It doesn't mean old, and it doesn't mean no fun, and it doesn't mean, you know, that you're against everything. It means that you are set apart. Holiness literally means set apart. I want more and more of my life set apart. Set apart for God to please Him in all that I do. And that's what we should want to do. So the second application is, be holy. Christ will test my life. Okay, let's say that. Be holy. Christ will test my life. Now, if there's anything that you don't want Him to test, then you should tonight change that and say, Lord, I don't want that part of my life to burn up. I want to redeem that time. I'm wasting time in this area. I have an inordinate amount of time spent here. I have an inordinate amount of my resources invested in something that really isn't going to matter. I want to change that. See, communion is when we commune. We're on a date with Him. He asks us out to dinner. And He says, I gave my life for thee. What are you giving for me? You understand? Be holy. Christ will test my life.